Hi, this is Tiffany DeLatte, and I'm in San Diego with the actress and scream queen,
Amanda Wiss.
Hello. So could you tell the listeners how your acting career began?
I was pretty young, but it started doing theater. I did a play called The Innocents, and then I did a play called The Bad Seed. And I was like in sixth grade or whatever, but they were little community theater plays, and that's when I got the bug.
And then from there, you went into television?
I was doing a play, and I can't remember what play, and an agent came and was like, hey, I'd like to represent you. And so she did, and then from her, I started doing other things, more in film and television. You know, I was really, really lucky, and it was sort of a happy accident. I think that often an actor has to seek out an agent. Mm-hmm. But regardless, all actors, I think, starting in theater is the best way to go because you really learn your craft. And I think it's a great way to figure out if you really love it enough to pursue it because it's not an easy business to pursue.
How would you describe the changes in Hollywood in the past 20 years?
I think that the reality TV market has really changed the landscape of television. I think that people seem to not take as many risks as far as filmmaking. In my opinion, I think there seems to be a lot more remakes and things like that. Or there's always been remakes, but I think there seems to be a higher quantity of people going like a safer route.
In writing or acting? Because with the reality TV, you really don't have writers, or do you?
Well, I think they... Yeah, because the whole reality TV thing, I mean, that it's reality is, it's a little bit of a misnomer because I do, you know, there is somebody there orchestrating it, and I don't know if people are actually, you know, writing a script, but I think there's people feeding them ideas, and it's edited in a way to make us feel a certain thing. So in a way, it's not that far off from a written show, except that it puts a lot of writers and actual trained actors out of work, but... You know what, for whatever reason, in this day and age, that's a market that people really like. And it's not for me to say they can't have it or they shouldn't have it. It's just, you know, as an actor, it definitely takes away some of the opportunity.
I recently watched The Making of a Nightmare on Elm Street, which you had such a great part in. And I learned that your character, Tina, was based on Janet Leigh. When you started filming, were you aware of that?
Yeah, you know, Wes had mentioned it. Wes Craven, who wrote and directed it, is a genius, and he's a master storyteller, and he's sort of like the master of the macabre. And he had this idea because, like in Psycho or movies like that, where you kind of in the beginning think that Janet Leigh's going to be the heroine, and yet she dies pretty early on. And so, I think that. For whatever reason, I reminded him of that, and I thought that was, you know, I was so young, but I knew that movie, and I thought that was a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm. So how did you prepare for that role?
You know, mostly with that, I'd never done a horror film, and I'd never really seen that much horror, although now I'm more of a fan of the genre just because it sort of has been what I fell into, and I've come to love it, but I mostly worked on trying to find the truth in that sort of unrealistic situation. So it wasn't just a bunch of teenagers running through the woods, you know, screaming mm-hmm. because somebody was chasing them. And so my preparation was mostly just using what I knew in my training of trying to make that situation seem as real and believable as possible so that I sort of just immersed myself in that character.
When you're reading a script, what excites you about a role or a character?
It's almost something that's indefinable that... I will be hit with something that, like a feeling that nobody else could play that but me. But if I literally look at it, it's like the journey that the character goes on. It's something that I want to do, like from beginning, middle, and end, and like what they discover about themselves and what they go through. There's a character will come along that I realize, like, oh, that's a door I want to open, or that's a place I want to go, or I want to explore that. And so it's usually something just piques my interest that I don't even know why usually, but it, you know, it literally is that the journey would be interesting to try to bring to life.
Mm-hmm. And do you get that when you're reading the script or?
Yeah.
Because it's somebody else, because I'm not an actress, but it always seems interesting that you know, you become the character, but it's not your own words. It's not how you would imagine the character to be.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, that's actually really astute. Yeah. It is in reading the script, and there's times I've read scripts where I was like, you know what, there's just somebody else that can do this better. And there's sometimes I've actually gotten those roles and I'm thinking, I don't know that I can bring, I don't know where to go to bring this truth. And I have to pull out every ounce of training to find the journey and make it feel right. Because if it feels right with me, then it helps the story, and then therefore the audience would enjoy it as well.
What was one of the roles or characters that you played where you felt you didn't have it in you and you had to really work hard on it?
Well, interestingly enough, it was a film that we ended up doing too. We ended up having a sequel, and I found it, it's such an interesting question, because I think it happens a lot to actors. You know, you end up in a place that you're like, oh my gosh, what do I do with this? But I got this little film called Son of Darkness, and it was a cult. It ended up being this cult hit, and people still come up and talk about it. And it was about these vampires, and I remember at the time, and ironically, it's hilarious because I'm a huge vampire geek, and I love the whole sci-fi adventure fantasy world. So, but this part, it was this wisecracking, bubble-headed vampire, and I was just like, I just don't get it. And then I just like kept trying to dig deeper and dig deeper, and then I ended up having a really good time. But I remember at the time thinking somebody else should be playing this part, but then it turned out to be really fun, and we did a sequel, and it turned out to be one of my more fun times doing a little independent film.
So when you're digging so deep and becoming the character, when you go home, I mean, like I've heard other actors talk about, like Daniel Day-Lewis, he stays that character the whole time. Do you stay in your character?
Well, first I want to say, oh my God, I can't believe you mentioned my name, Daniel Day-Lewis, because I'm like such a hack compared to him, but thank you. You know, I was trained in the Lee Strasberg method acting, and so when I was younger, I would just torture myself and stay in character, and then the older I got more into using your imagination, and that was a lot easier to let it go. But sometimes, like, you know, I was doing an episodic TV show one time, and I played this like serial killer who like bathed in bleach, and she was just so whacked out of her gourd, and I had to go to such a place to play her. It was difficult to shake her at the end of the day, because I felt like if I shook her, I'd never want to go back. And I think that was my motivation more for staying in character.
You've been in numerous iconic 80s movies like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Better Off Dead, Silverado. Did you ever read for John Hughes?
I did. I read for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and I didn't get it, obviously. I think that's the only one I read for, and I remember being crushed because I loved him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know I had to I had my own little piece of the 80s pie, and I didn't get to, I really wanted to do a John Hughes film, but I guess I wasn't his cup of tea.
Could you tell us a little bit about your audition for Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
You know, I remember going in, and Judge Reinhold was there, who is a doll, and he's hilarious, and we had to improv, I believe, if I can remember correctly, we had to improv the breakup scene at the basketball game, and it was just really funny, and he was hilarious, and the casting director was lovely, Carrie Fraser, I think was her name, and it was just really fun. We sat on her desk and improv that breakup scene, and apparently I broke up with him well, because I got the part, so apparently I break up with people very well.
Can you tell us a little bit about the auditions?
Often for parts, they put out a breakdown, they call it, and they're sometimes they're very specific, you know, age-wise, hair color even, type, and they give an idea what they're looking for, and then they see certain people based on that. And with that, sometimes you can go in and change their mind. I got a part once in the I don't even remember the name of the film, but it was like this really awesome sci-fi, because I'm a total sci-fi geek, and I love all that stuff. But it had been written for a guy, and somehow I got in there, and they were like, oh, a girl could play this, and I got that, and it was really cool.
You've mentioned sci-fi a lot, and many actors, where you hear them interviewed, they'll say, I was born to play that part. Do you think you're born to play a sci-fi role?
Oh, I would love so much. I would love to be the voice in video games. I love all that stuff. And yeah, I love sci-fi. I love fantasy. I think it would be so much fun to play like the captain, especially the older I get, like the, you know, captain of the ship and or the bad woman. But I don't know. I love sci-fi so much.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amanda, for your time and for telling us sharing some of your stories. And we're piratepods.com. Could you give us your best pirate impression?
Arg, matey.
Thank you.